Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the first week of our series called Made for More. And this week, Pastor Josh discusses the question, what is the more you were made for? Enjoy the message.
It's good to be with you today. How's everybody doing? You guys good? Good? All right, so I heard from five of you. Are you good? Thank you. That makes me feel better. So, hey, my name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors here. And, man, God's been doing some great stuff today. It's been a great day already at The Rock. And I just believe during this service that it's just going to continue on, that he's got great things in store. Because today is just a special day on multiple levels, all right? It's a special day at The Rock because today our coastal campus, which if you don't know, we are a multi-site church. We have several different campuses. Our coastal campus, which is right across from Coastal Carolina University, celebrates its third birthday today. Isn't that exciting? So that's very exciting. God's doing some great stuff at our coastal campus. So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited today is my mom's birthday. And that's exciting, isn't it? Okay. My mom was watching at 10, I think, but just in case you're watching at 11:30, Mom, I love you. I'm glad you're still my mom. Okay. But anyway, and it's a special day for me. It's something I didn't know until just this week I realized it, that I was in the middle of a staff meeting, and as I was talking with our staff, I'm kind of the old guy on staff. I'm not kind of the old guy. I am the old guy on staff, and I was reminiscing about something in the past, and I said, well, it was about 30 years ago that I started doing ministry, and then I really started thinking about the calendar, and I started thinking, wait, it was in 1990, and it was in October. And then I connected with my former lead pastor, the guy I first served under, and I went back to kind of like my memory box, and I was looking at some things and pulled out my first Bible and stuff like that. And in it, I realized, I can't be guaranteed, but I think it was actually the third week of October, 1990, which we are now in the third week of October, 2020. So it was 30 years ago, I think, this week that I started doing ministry, all right? So for me, all right, thank you for making me feel better. Like, for me, that was a big deal, you know, because I know most of the guys I graduated college with who went to seminary with me, that they're no longer doing it. And the fact that I've been able to do this for 30 years and just to see how God has moved over the course of those 30 years. My first ministry was a small little church in southern Indiana, and that's where I met my wife, and we did ministry there for 5 years, and then several other churches along the way, and a couple of traveling ministries within inside of that, and it's just been a great time. And through it all, though, I've always felt like God saying, hey, this is good, but I got something more. I got something else. I got something for you. And then 5.5 years ago, we got the call from The Rock to come and be the lead pastor here. And I just remember going, okay, let's go. And when we got, I remember I flew in, and I remember my first Sunday at The Rock. All right, it was on December 7th of 2014. There were a couple of you that were here. Like, I know one person that was here. All right, anybody else remember that day? So there's like five of you in the room, all right, maybe 10 of you in the room. If you remember, I preached about a little fork. And I talked about how when you have your fork, the best is yet to come. Some of you remember maybe a grandparent saying that to you, like they're clearing the dishes and you got done eating dinner. They're like, keep your fork because the best is yet to come, meaning that you got some kind of cherry pie or some pumpkin pie or some kind of great dessert coming. So they told you to keep your fork. Anybody ever had somebody say that to you? Okay, so a couple of you. You know what I'm saying, all right? Well, on that day I preached about keep your fork because the best is yet to come, that I really felt like God had more for our church. But I told everybody, this kind of fork won't do. What we need is a fork like this. We need this kind of fork. And some of you are here. Some of you remember. For those of you, most of you weren't, okay? Then here's what I want to tell us. Is that God had more for our church than we ever thought or imagined. And the bottom line is, think about how many of you are here right now that wasn't at church with us on that day. Like, if you weren't here December 7th, 2014, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but please just do me a favor, raise your hand, because this is most of you in this room. You see what I'm getting at? God had more. God had far more in store for us than we ever thought, than we ever asked or imagined, right? I didn't know that we would be moving into this facility. We didn't know that we would start an online campus that because of a pandemic is actually our largest attended campus out of all of our campuses. We didn't know we'd start a campus at J. Reuben Long Detention Center. We didn't know that we'd be celebrating 3 years at Coastal. We didn't know we'd be planting a church in Aynor. Like, we didn't know any of those things. We just knew God had more. So I remember sharing that we need a bigger fork. And this was the biggest one I could find. And honestly, this isn't big enough either, because God has more. And that's what today is all about. Today is all about us coming to an understanding that God has more for you than you could ever ask or imagine. That God wants to do more in your life. And we're going to start a series today. I started it 6 months ago. We had to cancel it because of the pandemic, because of COVID. And we're relaunching it today. And for the next 5 weeks, we're going to walk through the book of Ephesians. And as we walk through the book of Ephesians, what I hope that we will all catch, what I hope that we all get out of this, is that God wants to do more in your life and through your life than you could imagine. That he's got more for you. And you might be here today and you've never been to church before. I want you to know you're in the right place and it's the right day for you to be here. Because you're going to hear a message today that God wants to live inside of you. You're going to hear a message today that God sees you as a work of art, as his masterpiece. That God has grace for you today. So if you have no faith background or you've never been here before, then it's a good thing that you're here today. It's also good because you're going to hear a lot about the future of our church. And then there's many of you who are here who you call the Rock Home. And what I want you to catch from this is everything that God wants to do in you, but also what God wants to do through you. That everything that God has done so far over the 15 years of our church and the 5 years that I've been here, that he's got more for you. He's got more for us. And it starts, though, by understanding that he wants to do more in you. Before we ever talk about he wants to do more through you, we got to talk about he wants to do more in you. God can work through anybody, whether or not they have faith in Christ or not. That God can use you, he could use anybody, doesn't matter their faith perspective. But when we surrender and we allow God to do more in us, then we can be more effective and God can do more through us. So let's really wrestle with this idea that God wants to do more in you. And what he wants to do more in you is he wants to fill your life with himself. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. This is a verse I'm going to challenge you to memorize. Each week, I'm going to give you one verse from each chapter of Ephesians. And by the time it's all said and done, you'll have 6 verses. That if you would memorize these and put them into your life, they can do immeasurably more. But let's just start with 1:23. It says this: "And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself." That Jesus wants to fill you. He wants to fill all things because he wants you, he wants me, he wants our world to be full and complete. That is the goal. That God wants you to be full. He wants you to be complete. But unfortunately, many times we try to fill ourselves with things that will never make us full. That we try to fill ourselves with all kinds of other things rather than filling ourselves with God, with Jesus. Now, we see this in the King Solomon. Solomon was a guy who was alive thousands of years ago. He was a king of Jerusalem, of the Israelite people. And Solomon tried to fill his life with all kinds of things. He said, I'm going to try to figure out what the more is in life that I can take in that will fulfill me. And he searched for it in pleasures, and he said, nope, couldn't find it in pleasures. He searched for it in sexual pleasures and fantasies, couldn't find it there. He searched for it in money and in wealth, he couldn't find it there. He searched for it in his job, and he couldn't find it there. That no matter what he tried, it left him empty. Might have gave him temporary satisfaction, but when it was all said and done, left him empty. To the point that he said that God has woven eternity on man's heart. That he's basically saying that your heart is designed for God. Solomon said that thousands of years ago. A guy named Blaise Pascal said it back in the 1600s. Maybe you've heard that name before. He was a philosopher, theologian, mathematician. Bottom line, he was a smart dude. And he said that our hearts are wired for God. That the phrase that he coined is that everybody has a God-shaped hole in their heart. Picture this little play toy. Maybe you've seen him before. That he would say that if this was your heart, then everybody's got a God-shaped hole. And the only way to fill that hole is with God. It is that's what will naturally go there. That's what Blaise Pascal said. What we end up doing, though, is we try to shove square pegs into round holes. And that doesn't work, does it? You know what I mean? Like, I can force it to go in there. If I try hard enough, I can get it in there. But it's not right, and it's not going to last, and it's going to wear out, and it's going to destroy it, okay? But that's what we do oftentimes in life. Is we say, well, I know that I've got this hole in my heart where I want something. I know there's something I need. And we try to put education in there. We try to put our position at our office in there. We try to put, well, how many friends do I have or how many likes do I have? We try to put that in there. We try to take money and use it, but none of it lasts. It might bring temporary satisfaction, but at the end, it'll leave you empty. The only thing that can fill that hole in your heart that is shaped for God is God. That he is the one who fills it. And that's what Jesus is saying here, is that he wants to fill it. But he doesn't want to just fill your heart. He wants to fill your entire life. See these words? He wants you to be full and complete. Now catch me on this, because I don't want to lose you. That surrendering your heart to Jesus and asking Jesus to fill that hole in your heart, that's good. Like, that's really good. It's something I want each and every one of us to do. But if all we do is ask Jesus to take up residency in our heart, but we say, you don't get my mind, you don't get my legs, you don't get my hands, you don't get the rest of my life, then we've fallen short. Jesus wants to fill your heart, but he wants to fill all things everywhere with himself. In other words, he doesn't want just your heart. He wants it all. How many of you all would admit that our community needs more of Jesus? You with me? How many of y'all would say that your school or your university needs more of Jesus? How many would say that my family needs more of Jesus? That the place where I work needs more of Jesus? My boss needs more Jesus, right? You're like, come on, Lord, he needs you, all right? Yeah, like I get it, that's what we'd say. Like our marriages, don't raise your hand on the marriages one, okay? But it's true, our marriages need more of Jesus. Like Jesus wants everything. And if we'll surrender not just our heart, but if we'll say, Jesus, please fill everything in my life. Fill it all, because I want you to take up complete residency in my life. And when you do that, when you say, Jesus, you have it all, here's what he does. He gives you more knowledge. Verse 16 of chapter 1 says he gives you more knowledge. Verse 17 says that he gives you more hope. Verse 18 and 19 says that he gives you more power. That when I surrender my entire life to Jesus Christ and I say, fill it all up, then he's going to give you his presence. And his presence gives you knowledge, gives you hope, and gives you power. And that's what you need, and that's what I need. It's what we all need. And that's the reason I say that he wants to do more in you, that he wants to work in your life. Because when he works in your life, then his presence fills it all. Guys, that's one reason Tyler and I, our worship pastor, we've been talking a lot as a church about our worship culture and saying we want the presence of Jesus at this place. Now, I believe that Jesus has always been here, that his presence is here. But what we've tried to do, and those of you who come to The Rock for a while, you've noticed that we've kind of opened it up a little bit, that we've said, all right, we're not going to schedule things as much, that we're going to allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to be in our midst. And if we want to sing a song a little bit more, we're going to sing a song a little bit more. If we want to pause for a little bit in the middle of something, we're going to pause for a little bit. Because what we're saying is, Jesus, we want your presence fully here, which means we surrender it all to you. Because we want you to work in us. That I want God to work in you. That I want his presence to be full in your life. Not just in your heart, but in your entire life. Because when that happens, I believe that God will not just be able to work in us, but he'll be able to work through us. That when we surrender it all to Jesus, he's going to be able to work in us. And as we allow God to work in us, then he's going to be able to work through us at a higher capacity. Let's move on to Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, that we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That we are God's masterpiece. Now, I don't know about you, but many times in my life, I do not feel like a masterpiece. Like if I look at my life, I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. I am a sinful, jacked up human being, okay? Anybody with me? Some of y'all willing to admit that. That's who we are, all right? So when I read this scripture and it says you're a masterpiece, I'm like, ooh, I don't get it. Hold on, time out. A masterpiece is like artwork. And what I really think is that God looks at me and he sees refrigerator art. Refrigerator art. You know what refrigerator art is? Grace, you've made refrigerator art before. You've given it to your mama and daddy. How many of y'all have refrigerator art on your refrigerator right now? Right. Your child makes a painting and they bring it to you and you immediately go, dude, this is awesome. Now inside, you're probably going, oh, this is horrible. Not yours, Gracie, okay? But you know what I'm saying? Like you're like, oh man, my child's got to be better than this. I mean, is that the best he can do? Right? Like some of you have thought that, but you still hang it up. That's not just for your kids. That's for us. That happened to me. I told you this story, but it's worth telling again. That there was a time in my life I used to do a lot with photography and did a lot of artwork and really loved that. And I thought, well, my daughter paints. I'm going to see if I can paint. So I painted a picture, had a canvas, painted this flower, and I looked at it, I went, I don't know if it's very good. And Krista came by, and she saw it. She's like, oh, Josh, that's awesome. I was like, I don't think it's really good. She goes, no, I love it. It's great. She took it, hung it up on the wall in the living room. I was like, okay, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. About 2 weeks later, we had some guests over to eat dinner, and while we were eating, I looked in the living room. No picture. What was hanging on the wall was no more. And I thought about saying something in the moment, but I thought, oh, just wait. And we ate dinner, hung out with them, had a great time. Afterwards, they left. I walk over to the couch by that wall, and I see it behind the couch. That my artwork was not good enough to be on display. I look at my wife. She's like, well... God will never put you behind the couch. God will never take you off the refrigerator. That you are his masterpiece. You're his masterpiece. Now, if we're honest, we're a mess. See, what he created when he created you was a beautiful canvas, but then what we do is we come in and we make a mess of it. It's like we put a giant red X across of it because of our sin, and we look at it, we're like, but what God does is through the amazing grace of Jesus, he washes over that canvas and says, now that's a masterpiece. Because you're a masterpiece of God's grace. That's what makes us masterpieces. It has nothing to do with us or what we have done, but everything to do with what Jesus has done through his grace in our lives. That's what makes us a masterpiece. That's the reason it says two verses before this, that it is not your good works that have saved you. It is not a gift of your own, but simply a gift of God's grace. You are a masterpiece that is meant to live on display. Don't miss that. You're a masterpiece of God's grace, but you're not to be displayed behind a couch. You're not to be shoved off into a corner. You are a masterpiece of God's grace that he wants to be lived out. Because when you live out the grace of Jesus in your life, then other people see it and they're able to say, well, wait. If you're a mess, but God has forgiven you and has given you an opportunity to go to heaven, well, then maybe he can forgive me as well. That we should be a masterpiece of his grace on display. Now, keep going. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. That we are a masterpiece of God's grace created in Christ Jesus for good works that he planned for. That God has things specifically for you to do. That he says, oh, this little task, I'm going to give that to my friend. Oh, this little task, I'm going to give that to my buddy Nathan. Oh, this little task, I'm going to give that to my buddy Manning. Oh, this little task, I'm going to give that to my friend Michelle. That he has specific tasks that he says, I'm going to have you do. Now, think about this for a second. He has no reason to do that. You realize that? That God can accomplish his mission without our help. He's God. That he could accomplish everything he wants to do without us. But he says, no, I want to invite you into this story. Because if I'm living in you, if I filled every aspect of your life, well, now we're in this story together, and I want to use you to do the good things I've lined out for you to do. Because when you go and do them, you might have actually help somebody else be the masterpiece they were created to be. But to do that, we got to do the good things he's called for us to do. And I don't know what those good things are that he wants you to do. I don't. That he knows them. And you are to discover them. I would say chances are they're in alignment with your gift set. We'll talk about that a lot in 2 weeks. But God has gifted you. And because of your gifting, then chances are he's got things for you to do with your gifting. And also, I would say that chances are they have to do with the position you are in the moment. Meaning, wherever God has placed you in the moment, then there's some good things he's called you to do right there. That if you're a teacher, there's plenty of good things you can do right now. I know it's a crazy year for our educators, but there are still kids every day who need the love of Jesus Christ. And there's good things you can do for them. Students, there's people that you come in contact with every day at school, at university, that need to be encouraged, that need to be loved, that need to know that they matter. Guys who work in a factory or an auto body shop or wherever you might work, that there are people there, whether those are customers, whether those are people you work with, that you can minister to every day. And what is the thing that I do? Whatever is good. Again, I can't tell you specifically, but just do the good thing. Like you can recognize and go, well, that would be a good thing to do. Well, I'm going to do it then. Until you're told differently. Start just simply doing good things in the places where God has put you. Do good things there until you are told to go and do something else someplace else. Do the good. And that's what we're going to do as a church. I can tell you right now that we feel called as a church to minister to this generation. That our mission as a church is to reach this generation. From the first day we were started as a church 15 and a half years ago, still today, we want to help kids, teenagers, young adults connect, discover, and respond to who Jesus Christ is. That's what we want for students. That's why we do what we do on this campus. That's why we say this, that we're going to do everything we can for this generation. That right now we are making plans to your left-hand side of knocking out part of a wall and building out an entire kids' wing. We're going to call it the Kids Rock Wing. It's about 8,000 square feet for elementary kids and kids with disabilities. All right? It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible for them. That we have some elementary kids that need more space, all right? That we have some kids with disabilities that need to have an environment for them so that they can learn about Jesus on their level and do what they need and use that room and the rest of the elementary space to help them. That we've got a room on this side that we're retrofitting specifically for students. So when students have nights where they call rally nights, where they're gathering together, where they have an environment specifically for them, that there's some things we need to do on this campus for this gen. It's why we launched Coastal, is we saw 15,000 college students at our front door and said, we need to do everything we can for college students. All right, at our back door is Carolina Forest school system, which is tens of thousands of elementary and high school kids in our back door. So we're doing work there to help this gen know Christ. In Aner, if you don't know, we are now under a lease agreement with the old IGA. We have about 10,000 square foot that we are putting a whole campus in, a coffee bar, you name it, it's going to be there because we want to reach this gen in the Aner community as well, all right? And let me just tell you, I was there this week. We haven't even started construction. It's just deconstruction right now. But I sat in that room. I went, there's the Connect Corner. There's the Kids Rock environment. Here's the box, or what we call the area where we worship. And I looked at it. I went, this is amazing. Amazing. Like, I get asked all the time, well, will it be like Conway? No, it'll be better, okay? It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. Those are some of the things God's called us to do. Why? Because we have to walk in them. Look at the last part of the verse. That he created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That he's got things for us to do, and because he has things for us to do, that means we've got to go. He's not going to force us, but he's inviting us to partner with him and to go where he's calling us to go. And if we go where he's calling us to go and do what he calls us to do, then people might just be who he's called them to be, and that's a masterpiece of God's grace. But to do that, we can't be complacent. To do that, we can't get comfortable. To do that, we can't forget the mission that God has put in front of us. Because unfortunately, as people who follow Christ, as a church, when I say a church, I just mean global church. Unfortunately, too many times we forget our mission. Too many times we forget that our mission is to help people connect with Christ. And what we do is we get comfortable. Too many times we just get comfortable and complacent and say, well, I just like it. I'm good. I love gathering. Man, I had a good time at church today. Got a good word. Got to worship a little bit. Got to meet some of my friends. It was a good day. And if we're not careful, we'll get comfortable and we'll run a race. But the reason we run the race will be for the wrong reason. Anybody here ever heard of the Iditarod race, the thing that happens in Alaska with dog sleds and stuff like that? Okay, let me give you the story because in case you don't know, all right? That there's a race that happens every March. They call it the Iditarod, and it's about a 900-mile dog sled race. And these guys, they call them mushers, will get on a sled, and they'll have a team of dogs, and they'll do this 900-mile race, and it'll take them multiple days to go from Anchorage all the way up to a town called Nome, all right? Now, they do this race for their enjoyment, for their excitement, and to get a prize at the end, to get a trophy at the end. That's why they do it now. But that's not why they've always done it. See, back in 1925, diphtheria was wrecking the town of Nome. And there was hundreds of kids dying. And they knew the only way to save these kids was to get some serum that was in Anchorage. And they had to go to Anchorage and get this medicine and get it to this town so these kids would stop dying. So they made a plan, and they got all these guys with these dogs and these sleds, and they made stations along the path. See, people weren't racing against each other in 1925. They were racing together. And they were racing together for the mercy and to save lives of these kids who were dying. And they got the medicine, and they put it on the first pack of dogs, and they raced as fast as they could until they got to the next team, and then they gave them the medicine, and they ran, and it was like a relay race over and over and over until they finally got it there. And when they got the medicine there, they solved the problem, and the kids were saved. What started as a race of mercy has now turned into a race of entertainment. And if we're not careful, that's what the church will become. If we're not careful, that's what'll happen at church. Is we'll get comfortable, we'll enjoy, it'll be exciting, and we'll do it so we get a trophy at the end. And listen, I want you to get the trophy at the end. I want every one of us in this room, everyone listening online, I want us to get the trophy at the end. I want you, when you come to the end of your life, that Jesus looks at you and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's your crown. Come on into heaven. I want that. But if that is the only reason we're doing what we're doing, we're missing the mission of God. Because the mission of God is he wants to work in you so that he can work through you, so that he can work in somebody else and work through somebody else. We cannot forget that mission. We got to stick to it every day. And I think that's the reason I wrote in my Bible. This is the first Bible I was ever given. Some of you know my story. I did not grow up in church. Came to faith my senior year of high school. I got this Bible about a year and a half before I went into ministry. And on the front page, I wrote this as a prayer. Lord, help me to never get used to seeing men, women, and children go to hell. It was a prayer 32 years ago that I wrote down, that would be real easy for me to forget. But I'm making a commitment to every day say this prayer and remember it, because God has sent me and he sent you and he sent us on a mission. He wants to do more through you and he wants to do more in you than you can ever imagine. And we'll talk about the imagine next week. But for today, let me just ask this question. Will you let him work in you? And will you let him work through you? As we go into this time of response, really wrestle with that. Allow yourself just to sit on that for a second. Will you let God work through you? Will you be committed to go where he calls you to go and do what he calls you to do so that others can be who they've been called to be? Will you let God work through you at your school, in your dorm, at your house, in your marriage? Will you let God work through you? I want you to answer yes. And to answer yes, and I'd say, well, the first thing we got to do, though, is we got to ask God to work in me. I got to say, God, you got it all. And I know many of you have said this before, but I'm asking you to make a recommitment today, just like I am, to say, God, I want you to work in me because I know you've got more for me. I know that, God, you've got more for me. And because you've got more for me, I know that means there's got more for you to work in me. And as much of my life as I've surrendered to Jesus, I know this. There's still little nooks and crannies that I haven't turned over to him yet. But he's not done, so I'll let him still work his grace in my life. Can you say the same today? God, work in me, because there's more you want to do. Maybe today for you, you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you've never taken that step of faith. Maybe you've been shoving a square peg into a round hole and going, I don't know why it's not working. I'll tell you why it's not working. Because God created you to be a masterpiece of his grace, not a work of your own art. God created you to be a masterpiece of His grace, not a work of your own art. So today, surrender to Jesus. You might say, I don't even know how to do that. I'll be standing at these Connect doors right behind you. I'll be standing there. I'd love to pray with you and help you take those steps. We have other prayer counselors that would be willing to do that as well. Maybe for you, you're just like, okay, I'm ready to do it. Maybe you're just going to say a simple prayer of, Jesus, I surrender my heart and my life to you. Maybe you want to take communion, which is just a piece of bread and a cup of juice. It's a way to remember what Jesus did on the cross. Today, that's available on the front of the stage. You can do that. Maybe you want to take a step of baptism. Maybe you didn't plan on it today at all, but today you're just like, you know what? God's working in me. I wasn't planning it, but this is what I need to do. We've got clothes. We've got people. We'll take care of you. Will you allow God to work in you? Will you long for His presence? Will you long for the idea of just sitting at His feet and letting Him move in your life so that then you can go and move on His behalf later? I want you to do me a favor. Let's stand up. And let's spend some time responding. Jesus, I come before you. And I ask you right now, Father, to do what only you can do. Jesus, I ask that you would fill the holes in our hearts. I'd ask that you'd fill the holes in our lives. I ask that you would seal up any cracks and crevices and mistakes that we got going on. God, that your grace would be at work in our life. God, I pray that we would be willing just to sit at your feet and allow your grace to cover us. God, I know you've created us for more, and that more is you. So work in us and work through us. In your name, Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.